This is the introduction to the comical, the first inaugural Comical Minds podcast. It's me.
What up?
Your boy Neil Classic. To my left, in human form, we have
Opinionated MJ.
And also on the phone, we have
Captain Reezy. What's going on?
And he is the comical captain on this voyage that we're taking, because he is the senior representative of the Comical Minds brand, soon to be taking over the world.
Yes, sir.
So, without further hesitation, we are going to get into the Black Panther movie review, but this isn't your typical review. It is me, myself, who is technically the villain of Comical Minds, and I will be playing the bad guy. We have Captain Reezy, the typical good guy, you know, boring, bland, super, but, you know, the typical good guy. And then you got Mike, who is like your typical
psycho.
He's an anti-hero, a heroic villain. How you would place it. He's in a gray area.
Yes, I like Joker and Vegeta, and probably would like Killmonger when I see the movie, and we could just jump right into that. So go ahead.
The premise of this podcast is that Michael hasn't seen the movie, and he is the only human being on the face of the earth who is of the hip-hop culture and is financially and physically capable of seeing the movie and still hasn't.
That is a good point. Let me set the tone for this, because I think it's a point that a lot of people I've seen on social media and all around the world missing out. We have to realize that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is now what we refer to in the comic book world is comic book continuity. So there's things that, if you've been paying attention, you've already seen. And if this is your first soiree into the Marvel world, there's history you can go back and look at. So
there's a lineage that led up to where we are now.
Right, so we're not going to spoil anything for you, but if the movie's already been out for a while, like if it's already on DVD or Netflix, it's going to get spoiled in this podcast. So don't be mad at us if we talk about stuff that's already available that you can purchase.
That's not Black Panther specific.
Correct.
So, disclaimer, spoiler warning, but
Somewhat.
Light spoiler warning. You know what you're getting into. Okay?
Right.
We're adults here. Act like it.
Okay. This y'all pie.
Okay, so Mike. What
go ahead.
Is
we're Ryan, what you about to say, Reezy?
Alright, so here's the synopsis for those who may not be aware of what they're walking into. Black Panther picks up immediately after the events of Captain America Civil War.
Right, where it introduces Bucky Barnes and the Iron Man Captain America conflict.
King T'Chaka's dead.
The father.
The father. T'Challa is taking over the throne as King of Wakanda, and he has to deal with what it means to be king of a nation and uphold the mantle of Black Panther. That is the synopsis, and dealing with the looming threats that he was not aware existed in his entire tenure as Black Panther. Keep in mind, T'Challa has been Black Panther for a while now. He was not aware of certain things.
He has been like the soldier who is participating as a kind of the person who you send in goodwill. Like the first, like if you're introducing yourself, you want to send an ambassador, which is the word that I was trying to look for in my mind. And that's what it was. He's an ambassador for Wakanda. And it's his first experience in the outside, as well as their first experience seeing him. Because to the outside world, Wakanda is a backwater, regular, not very advanced society, as it appears to the outside world. But...
yeah, because all I know about Wakanda is what I seen in one of the prior movies when they were with him and they were in the forest. I didn't see some of the stuff I see in the previews where they got spaceships and stuff like that. I didn't see that, if that's even in Wakanda anyway.
Right. That's the perception of the outside world.
Right. Well, again, what you know about Wakanda is what they want you to know. They have some vibranium. So here's what you know. If you've been following the movies,
the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
they have vibranium. Captain America's shield is made of it. Black Panther's outfit is made of it.
And it's suspected to be a very, very rare substance that is very difficult to come by, and there's only a finite amount. Because it isn't a naturally occurring material. It is something that was impacted the Earth thousands and thousands of years ago as a meteorite. So there is, what they have is all there is.
Yeah. So that's what you know. And there were a nation that was that lost lives, that were on a peacekeeping mission in Lagos because of the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, the Accords that was in, yeah.
And that was the conflict that sort of tipped. A lot of the events that happened in Civil War, that and what happened in Sokovia when Ultron pretty much used the vibranium to destroy Sokovia.
Right.
That's what you know about Wakanda.
As far as the Civil War and Age of Ultron, which left small tidbits of information about Black Panther and Wakanda. But it was more of a teasers. The movie is the main course. So
there, we got the synopsis in. So go ahead, Mike. What is your perception?
Well, my perception of
you got the track listing.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to pull up. Like my perception of the movie is, since I haven't seen it.
Since Mike hasn't seen the movie.
Because I don't know. I listen to music in a way where, because I write as well. So I kind of understand how things are themed out. Then you plug in Kendrick Lamar to this situation. And he fits perfectly because if, you know, for people that haven't listened to Pimp a Butterfly, and for people that have, he's like pro black on there. So they got the person that was perfect to do this movie to keep it black as well, even though he didn't really bring the type of lyrical prowess and like the stuff that he discussed on that album to this soundtrack. But he brought that feel from that and that experimentation musically to this situation, like him being able to go from that and his success from his last album and flipped it and threw a couple other artists on it. And I look at the track listing and it just seems like that's the theme of the movie. Like it starts off, the first song is called Black Panther. So that's the movie. It's like, here we are. That's the intro. The second song is All the Stars, which to me puts me in the mind frame of, if I'm not thinking of the lyrics, I'm just thinking of the sound, the feel of it. and the visuals that I seen from the video, that they're just like, oh, welcome to Wakanda. Right. You know what I'm saying? Here's Wakanda now. Like, you haven't seen Wakanda. Here it is. All the stars. You didn't think it was nothing going on. You know, me personally, I think it's just forests and mountains and whatever I seen and whatever Avengers movie that was when they went out there. And that's just all I thought it was. But this, it puts in a whole nother flip on it. Then it goes straight to 10. So my assumption is that, just based on that song, something kind of is like amiss going on right there. Because you said the movie picks up basically where the Avengers left off. So that means that it's not its own buildup or anything. It's a continuation, and it's supposed to set up for the next Avengers movie, right?
Correct. The what is it? Infinity Wars.
Right.
Next movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is going to be a two-part movie where they fight. It's like, do we have time to explain Infinity Gauntlet, or are we just going to stick to Black Panther? Because I feel like I need to defer a lot.
That's the thing. You almost have to, because the movie, the beauty of the MCU that most people don't get is that you can watch these movies by itself.
They stand alone independently.
The beauty of it is when you look at it as the part of the whole, and then you see the beauty that these movies bring to it. So yes, at the end of the day, this movie sets Wakanda up for Infinity War. Like, when I went to go see the movie for the second time and I saw the Infinity War trailer, I got goosebumps like I saw the trailer for the first time. And I saw the Infinity War trailer, this is my 15th time seeing that trailer.
I'm watching it. Total, like seeing it on the phone, watching it on the computer.
Right.
It's like the second time seeing it on the big screen is still experience.
And it's like, oh snap, like just understanding the world creation and seeing how
the build up
how
of it
everything
all.
Is right, how everything just sort of comes to light. Now, I guess we're gonna kind of jump back to Civil War. And this is not necessarily not a spoiler. They don't, you know, Steve Rogers is not in Black Panther, but you do realize that Steve Rogers has seen Wakanda. You do know that he's there. So it's like, oh crap, this, like, the world is getting closer and closer together, and so you just kind of see, you sort of see the majestic of it all. So to your point where you are, Mike, to sort of kind of tie it all together, what you just described is, you're right. For the viewer, for the person watching Black Panther, you're right on with what the soundtrack does to you, because you're right. This is like, you haven't seen Wakanda.
Right.
You're about to see it for the first time.
And you don't all know what you're about glory. To get into.
Right. So you don't know what you're about to get into. And when you see it, you ain't going to believe it. And that's that feeling, like how you see people on Facebook, like, oh my God, this is like, they're getting all super hyped. That's the feeling. Like what you're feeling in music, that's what they saw and felt. And that's why you see people on Facebook like just kind of wilding out, because they see it and they see the beauty. You know, it's no longer
no mystique.
The Suzanne Summers. You know, backwater Africa, sick little children, feed the hunger.
The excrement hole, as someone so eloquently put it.
You know what I mean? It's none of that. Even the part that's hidden from the world, you know, even that's beautiful. If that was all they show, you're like, man, it's like that.
It ain't
like that.
No, it's not bad. tourism, probably slow, but
it's just rich and beautiful. And the way Okoye says, you know, like, welcome home, and you see it, you're like, damn, I'm home now. Like, you just want to go party.
You want to join in. Say hi. Shake some hands.
They could have said the end. And you're like, all right, I'm good. Like, I'm about to go party. You know, that's kind of the feeling you get, like, right there. And that's what the soundtrack does. That's, you, like, yeah, that what you felt, that's what you see it, and that's how people kind of feel. So yeah, you right there, okay?
Yeah, because Because the soundtrack take me everywhere. Like, it take me everywhere. Like, literally, the soundtrack is my movie until I see the movie.
Correct. That's why we're trying to get your perspective. Because it's interesting to see how the music is interpreted into
visual.
Right.
Without it actually being
associated with the movie.
That, I mean, it's associated, but it's not closely associated.
Right.
Where it's not like they are putting out exactly what's happening in every song. Like, oh, we fighting, left punch, left kick. Oh, we here. Look at this beautiful, look at this beautiful woman. Look at her. You know, like, it's not like that. It's not just cut and dry, but listening to the emotion of it, the feeling, like, how the song make you feel, what type of mind frame it puts you in. Like, I know when it's a scene with, or I know where it's a woman involved in a scene, or where it's a fight going on, or where it's an urgency being set, or it's something coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can just listen to the soundtrack and know that.
And that's a testament to a good soundtrack. Like, it actually puts you in the same
soundtrack
mind frame as if you were watching the movie.
The movie.
So that's just a kudos to Kendrick Lamar and the team around him.
Yeah.
And them executing that vision very well.
Okay, so I got a question.
Exactly.
Because it's this song called I Am by Georgia Smith, who I actually was listening to prior to this. And she basically talking about if you know what you got, then sacrifice isn't hard. So I'm just trying to put that with the movie somehow. Is there some point where, because my idea is, okay, it comes a point where the main character or somebody that's close to being the main is in a situation where they're with a woman and the woman is suggesting to them, you know, you don't have to do this or something like that. Like, it's got to be some point in the movie where that's happening, right? Early on.
You are correct in your assumption that there is a point in the movie where a female character says to another character that they need to show restraint.
Okay, see, this is what this is. I'm gonna just turn it up a little bit, because this song gives me that.
Now cut it down.
This song gives me that. Just not turn it down so we don't get sued. That song gives me that. Like, I believe that, because what she say, when you know what you got, sacrifice ain't that hard.
Right.
So it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't have to, you know, I don't know what's going on in the movie yet. Right. But this song to me lets me know that there's a point in this movie that's happening. But then it goes into paramedic.
Okay.
Which is basically, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I got to go scrap. Which I'm sure is what happened.
Which is what a king of any country has to deal with. They have to deal with the fact that there are ramifications for their actions that are outside of themselves.
Right.
So even if you are a king, you're sacrificing yourself for your country.
I didn't think about it like that.
And
either.
Then there are certain parts in the movie where there are other characters making other sacrifices. May it be sacrificing their time, sacrificing their energy, sacrificing actual people.
Wow. So. Okay, so after that song is Paramedic, Bloody Waters, and King's Dead.
Okay.
And that's King, all fighting to me. That's all.
King's Dead is a video for that.
It is. I didn't really watch it. I just seen him sitting in the tree and then I like turned it off. I didn't really care. But that lets me know that it's all fighting. Like, the movie, that to me is like, okay, 10 minutes for Paramedic, 10 minutes for Bloody Waters, King's Dead, 10 minutes for that. So who's dead? I know Black Panther don't die. Y'all ain't got to tell me who dies. If someone even dies.
There is enough death in the movie to where you're not gonna get spoiled by saying that people die.
Oh, okay. And then then it goes into the Redemption interlude and Redemption, which is like a dance song, which is kinda it's like basically the dude complimenting the woman and just saying he wanna be with her or whatever, like, you know, he want to be next to her without, for lack of a better way to really kind of word it, how he really talking. Cause
he
it's,
froze.
Yeah. So it's that's where it goes. And then it goes into like, what's this, seasons? And that's talking about, like, the struggle and where they came from and whatnot. Then Big Shot is Big Shot. You know what I'm saying? And then the last song is Pray For Me. So y'all could kind of break down to me how the end goes, just as far as an emotion, if y'all can, without kind of telling me or without being a spoiler to everybody else.
I mean, technically, what you're saying, the soundtrack follows a certain arc, an emotional arc.
Right.
Which is reflected in the movie. Like, the ending is the conclusion. Before that, there is a resolution. Before that, there is the climax. So, what you're experiencing audioly,
musically, that's an actual app.
Right. I mean, but what you're hearing, and then it also reflects, it's going to reflect what you're going to see.
Okay.
So
basically, I'm hearing the movie before I see it, which is going to make my experience even that much more
richer,
I think, because I'm very visual, you know, and I'm very audio visual. Like, I take that stuff in real thick.
So there's a deeper understanding of the music, which gives you a different
understanding,
a deeper understanding of the movie. But not having seen the movie, your interpretation of the music and the movie is pretty more accurate than I thought it was going to be.
Wow.
I would agree with that. I think what I would tease you with is whose redemption is the song talking about? That'd be one question.
Because there are a lot of potentially redeemable individuals. Well,
I'll say this. I'll cut you off just for 1 second and say that the dude, like at the beginning of the song, he says, two wrongs don't make us right. So I don't know if that's got anything to...
That's like, a quote from the movie, yes.
That is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, there it is. That is going right with the movie. And then Kendrick, over certain tracks, he'd be like, all hail King, Killmonger, or whatever. And, you know, just like my perception of Killmonger, now that I found out that that's Michael B. Jordan's character,
correct,
is that the dude is like a menace. Like, when he come around, like, the energy of the music when Kendrick is speaking of him, like, you know,
it's a very
when he had that song, because what's that song? He like, take your keys, take your robes, take your this, take your that. Like, it's like Killmonger coming to take everything from you.
Yeah.
And he's coming, and it's, I don't know, it's an overwhelming energy that I get from that song that kind of gives me the idea that dude is tough to handle. Like, you can't handle him. Like, you like, oh, try this. Nope, that don't work. Oh, try that. Nope, that don't work. Up, oh, he gone.
Right.
You know, there, so.
He is a villain. Go ahead, Ryan.
I guess that's a question you gotta ask yourself.
He might end up being my favorite character.
That's the thing. Like, you are the
fan of a heroic villain, like you said. Like if we talking about, like, go ahead, Ryan.
But I'm not asking that. So he's the antagonist.
Right.
The antagonist isn't always a villain.
Isn't necessarily a villain. I understand what you're saying.
He just has a different
perspective.
And I caution using the word villain simply because when you get down and understand what he is after, There is a villain. There is a true villain in the movie. And I'll wait to the second podcast to tell you who that person is. And what I will tease is, if this person hadn't have done what they did, there wouldn't have been that particular conflict that they would have to go through. That, in my mind, is in fact the villain.
The circumstances are the villain.
Right. Killmonger is the antagonist because he is in some ways a victim of the circumstances he's faced with.
Which is a very difficult position to be in, which could easily result in someone being villainous.
Right. And so, because you kind of see some people saying as far as I'll go, you'll say, well, T'Challa wasn't all the way right. I would say probably the only person in this cycle who is innocent, or I guess the other true victim of circumstance or victim of the situation would be T'Challa, because he is truly the only person who had no idea
and is forced and to so, deal with it.
Right. He's on the path of discovery and is dealing with the situation as it's happening.
Like he there is definitely he gets derailed from what's supposed to be going on.
Right. Right. So that's why I'm like, Killmonger is not necessarily villainous.
He's definitely an antagonist, and his methods are villainous. But the concept which he's trying to kind of insert into his native country isn't.
What is his native country?
Like, Wakanda. There is a potential spoiler.
Stop, you went too far. Like,
so
I knew at some point too far.
Okay. Bye bye.
Red light. For that, you gotta watch the movie.
Okay. Now you definitely so. As of how is your sense of urgency right now, Mike?
Huh? My sense of urgency. Right, I mean, I'm expecting to go see the movie and the soundtrack basically play in the back of my head when all this stuff happens. Like as the stuff happens, I'm gonna apply. If the soundtrack not even playing behind them, because more than likely it is.
Most likely, it's don't go in expecting to hear the soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna hear the soundtrack myself. Yeah. I'm going to apply the soundtrack in those situations.
I believe that there are going to be, you're going to be able to, like, go through the entire track listing.
And because
say, this song could be placed this here because the emotions are similar.
Yes. And the soundtrack kind of tapers off. Like, once it ends, it leaves you kind of like, where am I at? Which is where I'm sure the movie leaves you, because it's supposed to lead off. Because
what's at the end of every Marvel movie?
yeah, because the guy, somebody at work told me, well, when you do go see Black Panther, you know not to leave. I'm like, yeah, I know it's Marvel. Like, I'm going to sit there until for like another 20 minutes.
You watch those names scroll past. And you watch, and you look at every single song. And you look at the artist, and you look at who wrote it. And you look at the distribution of that song.
Yeah.
And you look at everything.
Like, he's like basically
all the way down to the thank yous.
He was like real pressed anime about that. He was like, look, don't leave when the movie ends. I'm like, damn, okay.
Like okay, I won't leave. Happen to you if you walk out.
Right. Like I'm a miss. Like instead of Marvel showing, what's my man's name? What's the dude that's in the next Avengers? The old strong face dude. What's my man's
Thanos?
Name?
Thanos.
Instead of saying Thanos, just have a little word. You know what I'm saying? I'm expecting to see something that's really about to set up Avengers now.
The
way he put it to me. The way he put it to me is like, yeah. And you and Ron can
We will not elaborate at all.
Oh, y'all want to elaborate? Watch this okay, movie. So this is on me now. So y'all, yeah. So the next pod is waiting on me. I'm important now.
Right.
Y'all gonna make me go see it right now.
Listen,
almost.
You're late. Your assignment was to see the movie when it first came out. I turned in mine like Ryan turned his in early. Okay.
That's just. I'm gonna say this. I went to the actual theater.
So you have, before you have zero excuse. I don't have no excuse now.
I went to the theater. I had Sorrel with me, baby girl. Shout out, love you, mwah. But they told me the tickets were sold out, and then they said we also don't have no seats near each other. And this is a week after it came out.
So you should have known better.
Pretty much. So I'm like, I can't sit next to my daughter, then I can't do this.
Wow. Because it's my daughter. Responsible adult.
Yes, I'm
congratulations.
Yes, I'm
now
not
go
about
see
to
the movie.
I'm not about to be focused on the movie and trying to look where she at. I'm not about to do that.
No,
she
not,
needs to be right here.
We're not monsters.
Nah.
But you are.
We're not monsters.
Until you see this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll go see it. Because I could go see it by myself, depending, you know, with the schedules, the way the schedules conflict.
Don't make me have to take
and you. Then take her, you know, to go see it again. Because y'all making it like, I need to go see, because you getting, from what I'm hearing from y'all, you getting a fresh perspective with each watch, basically. So
there are certain intricate things that you might
which
not,
is like that with every movie, but especially with this movie.
Because there's a lot.
Especially what Ryan was saying.
The tapestry of this movie is very visual.
Okay.
Like, you need to see this movie in a theater to get a complete understanding of just how much went into it.
Okay, so in that case, you said this movie could have been better, but you got a whole lot to say about it. So, I think that you think that this movie is at least an 8 out of 10.
It had the potential to be a 10 out of 10, which is what my gripe is, okay?
But why do you even have a gripe when this movie is a setup for the next?
Because because simple things could have been done to make the movie more compelling, in my opinion. But I understand that this is a children's movie. It is not for me, what I am in my demographic as a 30-plus-year-old man watching a kid's movie. Okay? I get it, Disney. It's not for me.
Damn, Disney run this now? They run Marvel?
Well, yeah, Disney owns Marvel.
Disney owns ESPN, and Disney owns a lot of stuff. So I ain't talking bad about Disney in any way, shape, or form, so I don't get...
No, we good with Disney. We good. What you say, Reezy?
I guess I have no idea where that's coming from. Here's what I would say. This movie for me is a 9 out of 10.
Ooh wee. Okay.
It's a 9 out of 10. And the first time I saw it was a weak 9 out of 10. Second time I saw it, it was like, oh yeah, it was a solid 9 out of 10. Because, and the reason why it was a weak 9 out of 10 is because there was something I was looking for, it's not a spoiler. In the hunt for the Infinity Stones, I thought they would show you where the stone was in Wakanda. And I was like, I missed it. But then on the second viewing, I found it. And then once I realized what it was, I was like, oh, that's what's going on.
No!
And all the visuals, all the things that was happening in the movie, it all just kind of clicked. And I was like, these jokers are slick.
This dude, Reezy, has just blown my mind.
Yeah, he just blew my mind. So now I'm looking forward to looking to see the Infinity Stone when I see this movie.
I wasn't even looking for it.
Listen.
Which probably has to do with why they're so advanced, right?
I want you to understand that throughout, like, watching the movie, that's how visually stunning the movie is, that there was an Infinity Stone in my face. And I didn't even see it.
I was like, okay, I'm good now.
Now I gotta, where's Waldo, Black Panther, when I drag Mike's body into the theater and sit him in the seat, Weekend at Bernie style. Now I need you. Yeah. Just lay completely out. And I'm going to recline your seat too. So your feet is up and no one bothers you.
That's why I was like, oh, okay. This is making sense to me because it's like... Because
it's a very specific Infinity Stone that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I ask y'all a question?
Yep.
Is this Infinity Stone why they are so advanced?
Yep, in a sense.
In a general sense.
Okay.
But okay. It's not a giant part of the movie. The fact that it snuck past me and Reezy telling me this right now is like, what? Like, the Earth is flat?
I forgot all about the Infinity Stones until it was time for Infinity War.
But they just went out.
So that alone, him just saying the Infinity Stone just gave me the whole preface to Infinity War. So
like
this is...
Like I said, it's like, again,
these breadcrumbs are there.
Is introducing continuity. So sometimes it's going to be right in your face like Doctor Strange, and they're going to tell you this is the Time Stone. Sometimes it's going to be subtle. You got to pay attention to what's left out there and you just got to catch it. And I was like, oh, like, it's not going to be right in your face. Sometimes you got to pay attention to what's happening.
And the fact that you had to watch it twice, and like, did you read that somewhere, or you just was like, "Hey, that's an Infinity Stone"? Cause I totally missed it on my first viewing.
You know what? No, cause I didn't. When I was sitting down and I was actually doing my typing my review for it, I was thinking about it and I was like, "That might be it." Then when I saw it the second time, I was. You gotta be kidding.
This dude Reezy got spider sense. This whole time. Well, Reezy been Miles Morales.
Well, think about it. Because there's parts in the movie where you experience what happens as you take your rightful place on the throne, and they kind of show you what you go through, and you're like, oh, okay, if you're paying, you gotta, so like for you, Mike, you might just pick it right on up, like, okay, there it is, and you'll be like, okay, got it, makes sense,
As opposed to me, on the other hand, who's completely on the dark, and is like, has his hands on his head, and is like,
You had the devil horn sticking out, looking for, you know, Deadpool-esque, you know, swearing and you know, vulgarity.
Listen, so I can see where I do have an appreciation for the lower brow types of comedy. Okay, like that's not a surprise. Spoiler alert. Okay, like I understand, I get it, but. My gripe with the movie wasn't the fact that there was a lack of gratuitous vulgarity or just the presence of mindless violence. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that there was a lack of weight in the grandest scheme of things. Like, they are talking about a lot of very potentially, how can I put this delicately? potentially it could arise questions that could cause people to have a negative opinion. Because it is dealing with race. It is dealing with people's perception. It is dealing with a lot of things that a black person in America would have a certain perspective on that necessarily a person whom doesn't share the same experiences that we have might not necessarily have. So we have a very specific perspective that is potentially different from a general audience.
I'm going to table my response to that until Mike sees the movie. Because if I respond, you're going to force me to spoil something, and that's not going to be right. So I got to wait on that. So
this is how seminal, this is how important this movie is, that it's almost like required reading.
Okay, so what?
Nerd card is in question right now. Your blurred card. You checking.
So, what? Have we reached a dead end until I go see the movie?
Here's what I will say in response to that.
Because, yeah, we can wrap it up. We can put a bow on this.
Yeah.
45 minutes in.
Here's what I will say in response to that. It's like, it kind of goes back to the earlier conversation. We know what people can do with vibranium if they get their hands on it.
And it's a potentially dangerous thing in the wrong hands.
Yeah. And I'll just say that. And we've already seen one of the villains already, and we already know how crazy that person is just from what he's been able to do in Age of Ultron. So
with a small amount of vibranium.
Right. So I'll just stop there.
All right.
So it's like, if you haven't seen the movies that have come out before Black Panther,
you're really gonna be lost.
You're not gonna be lost, but you're gonna be missing out on a lot of what the universe is trying to show.
Okay.
It's like getting dropped.
I've seen
off.
Every movie. I haven't seen Thor. Do I need to see Thor?
It isn't necessary.
No. Okay.
But
I haven't seen Ragnarok.
Right.
I could probably go watch that on Netflix.
You
want to see Ragnarok if you want to watch Infinity War.
Okay. So I'm gonna try to watch that tonight then.
Yeah. Like, but it's not a required thing for Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah. See, this is the point where, you know, I was talking with people on social media. And to the point of everybody on there who, you know, getting mad, you know, the angry hoteps and all the other people getting mad.
Now listen,
I know exactly what you mean.
Now listen, if you use regular conditioners, your body to have different hormonal changes, okay, that don't align with the sun,
right? Let them go in.
Some of y'all are absolutely right. Uh-huh. Y'all coming in like this is the very first thing that's happened out there, and y'all trying to extrapolate an entire scenario as if Marvel trying to get the black dollar. This has been going on for 10 years.
Right.
This character has been in multiple movies. Wakanda's been referenced for multiple movies. This is not a money grab.
Right.
This has been planned.
That movie has been in pre-production for how long?
This is a grand design. This is like the fact that this movie is this good didn't have to happen. Like, the movie could have been just good enough. This could have been Thor: The Dark World, and it would have been just enough to get you to Infinity War. The fact that it was this good means that they're committed to doing something more than just doing a cash grab. So,
and that's what a lot of what my initial concern was, like in the very beginning. But after the promotion, after seeing the rollout, I kind of figured that the movie is in good hands, and there isn't too much to panic about. And I'm glad to see that I wasn't disappointed. Like
they could have easily made the Black Panther as a movie and made another Avengers 2.5 and thrown in Captain America, thrown in Iron Man, thrown in all other
maybe Spider Man if you're trying to if you got a movie coming out. Black Panther
like a side character in his own movie. And y'all would have been mad because it was a Black Panther, but he's only in half the movie. But be happy that it's a movie about him.
And it is a Black Panther movie.
Building in Wakanda. Be happy that they took dedication to build this world out. This is planned.
It could have easily been a Black Panther Netflix miniseries, but they didn't do that.
So,
it is an actual movie. You know,
right. Right. And so yeah, and I get it. Like, there's people, there's folks out here, like, they don't even realize this is going on. And so I invite you, hey, welcome to the party. Been there for years. Go check out the other movies. There's a lot that's been going on. Guess what? There's other Black superheroes in this continuity. There's Falcon. There's, you know what I mean? There's Rhodey, there's War Machine, there's a whole bunch of other characters out here that's been rolling around that y'all ain't even realized.
See,
go watch another movie. Realize it's bigger than this.
Me.
Enjoy.
Me looking from the outside in would...
I mean, not
say
even
to
necessarily
those,
the outside.
I mean, no. Me from looking from the outside in of Black Panther would say to those people... is with the Black superheroes that you haven't seen a Black superhero come from where he originates from and his people are there. That's the difference.
Right,
man.
So this isn't really a racial thing. This is more of a where they are thing. If I leave right now and I go to Russia, I'm seeing Russians. If I leave right now and I go to China, I'm seeing Chinese people. If I leave right now and I go to Japan or wherever I go, I'm seeing a real deep concentration.
People.
Yes, I'm seeing the indigenous. I'm seeing the actual original people there. So there shouldn't be anything to be said about this movie when it comes to that, because we are looking at the concentration of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is who the king is. And I mean, what you think he's about to be king of, America?
And that's
me looking from the outside. I haven't seen the movie. I haven't seen how many Black faces I'm about to see. You know,
right.
I haven't seen just one skin color. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't seen that. So they have to kind of have a respect for that and not make it a racial thing, because it's not really racial. Marvel, I mean, just considering the way that movies go, do they really think Marvel would have made, not even Marvel, do they think Disney would have made a movie this way with Marvel knowing how the comic is supposed to go without it actually going the way it's supposed to go? If I'm from Africa, then you're going to see Africans. And it's light-skinned Africans, it's white Africans over there. And you are going to see those people. You're not going to keep seeing Americans, Europeans, and everybody else.
See, I thought we were going to wrap this movie up, but then
I mean, we can wrap it up. We can wrap it up. That's just my perspective on race, because I understand that America, and I don't mean to make this kind of political at the time, is a melting pot. We are a melting pot.
Right.
So the people in America who are watching this movie need to understand that once you leave America, you are going.
Look like home.
It doesn't look like home. You are going to there,
right?
And it's okay. Like, look, be excited that you're seeing something, and you're seeing beauty. Be happy about it. Be proud. Be glad. It's like this is. I'm amazed. Number of people of all different shapes, sizes, and colors walking out here talking about this movie and excited for it. You know what killed me is the folks. And it's sad that sometimes it's us. They're just trying to diminish it. I'm saying, like, oh, y'all happy because some white dude created a fictional character. Like, no, dude. Why don't you understand? Stop trying to make a complex topic simple.
Right.
Yes, it was made in the 60s by Stan Lee. But right. there's been so many different writers and artists who built this character into
who added to today. The tapestry that is the character that has become the Black Panther on the screen today.
Right. Like, just stop. Like, watch the movie before you try and criticize the movie.
And my thing is, what makes a movie a stereotypical, air quotes, black movie, and what makes a movie a stereotype? Like, there isn't a such thing as a white movie. It's just a movie. Like, this shouldn't Correct. Even be considered a black movie. It is a superhero movie that takes place in Africa.
And I asked somebody, was Iron Man in it? And he's in it, right?
Is Iron Man in Black Panther?
No. So, it's a movie. It's a Marvel movie.
It's a Marvel they're giving, movie that centers around a character who happens to be of African descent.
Right. That's not involved with America or where's Superman from? What planet? Krypton.
That's DC. Krypton. And I don't know.
Wait, he DC?
Yes.
Yeah, he is DC. Never mind. So, I mean, but that's still the point, though. You know, we have an actual, like I said, the main word, concentration, because this is about an area. Because I don't hear nothing else, but all I've been hearing memes and people talking about stuff and hashtagging is Wakanda. That's one place, right?
Wakanda forever.
Exactly. So that's one place.
Yeah. And it's a fictional like movie
if
place.
If somebody say Mexico, I'm expecting Mexicans and Latinas.
I mean, like, what are you trying
if
to
somebody
do right
said
now?
Makes America sense. Forever, then I'm expecting a melting pot. But I ain't trying to derail the pie. We can close on that note before it gets too political.
We can close on that note, and you need to understand that you need to see this movie.
I'm gonna go see this movie. Back. I'm gonna go see this movie in the next 2 days.
What?
Alright.
Yeah.
So today's date is.
It's Wednesday the 6th of March.
Wednesday the 6th of March. So
Wait. No. I'm so off. It's Tuesday the 6th of March. I'm just thinking
time of Wednesday.
So by Friday, I'm going to go see this
I'm going to give you till Saturday to complete your assignment. And if you do not, you will be pummeled within the interval
right,
of life by the
Sunday,
trash man.
Right,
because
Sunday we need to be doing the follow-up podcast by Sunday.
And Reezy is letting out his horse. And by his horse, I mean his giant dog. And by his giant dog, I mean his dinosaur. But anyway, we're gonna
wrap this up and we're gonna keep it comical. Look, this is comicalminds.com. Please go visit. Ryan, if you wanna add anything as far as promotion.
Check out the site.
You know, we're gonna keep it live. Don't be afraid to leave your comments and posts. We love hearing from you. Thanks for the support.
And it's your boy Neil Classic.
Your boy opinionated MJ.
And associated
Nope. It's comical.
This is a comical podcast. So
thank y'all.
Take it easy.